appreciate your presence this morning, another wonderful Lord's Day, and thankful that there's not any snow or ice out there. And you know, last winter we had a lot of snow and comfortable building to meet in, and it's good that we can sing these spiritual songs and worship God. We'd like to study this morning on the subject, disappointments that new Christians face. We have several new Christians here, members that have obeyed the gospel and they're young in the faith. And we certainly rejoice and happy that they're growing as Christians. But we need to realize that sometimes there may be disappointments that they may face. And we want to make sure they don't become discouraged. They don't want to give up their faith and their trust in God. We know that sometimes the young people go off to college, and when they come back, they've left Christ and the church. And so we need to consider some of the disappointments that new Christians face in this life. We read in 2 John, the fourth verse, he says, I rejoice greatly. I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And so here the Apostle John rejoiced that some of their children were walking in the truth. Of course, if some were walking in the truth, it means that some were not. And so we rejoice in those who walk in the truth. It makes us sad when there are those that are not walking in truth. There's great joy seeing new Christians grow in the faith. Nothing greater than to see a young man, a young woman, and those that have been baptized to see their spiritual growth, how they grow and they develop as a Christian, and it's very encouraging to those of us that have been in the church for a long time. Unfortunately, not all new Christians grow as they should. Jesus taught the parable of the sower, how that some seed would fall on stony ground, and some seed would fall on thorny ground. We notice here that Jesus said in Luke 8, verse 13, beginning, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. And so Jesus here is teaching that there would be some that would not last. They would fall away. The stony ground, they didn't have enough root, and they would wither and die. This would be a time of temptation. The thorny ground, he says, the cares, the riches, the pleasures of this life cause them to fall away. And so we certainly don't want to see that happen to those who are new in the faith or anyone that is a Christian. Disappointments often overwhelm them, and some even fall away. This ought to concern older Christians, for we have responsibility to those who are young in the faith. As older Christians, we need to encourage them and help them in any way that we can as they live the Christian life. Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so here, as Christians, we have responsibility to those that might be taken into fault, those who are maybe they're weak and maybe they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And so we're to try to encourage them to repent and do what is right. And he says, do it in the spirit of meekness. Strong Christians are to help those who are weak, those who are new in the faith, those who are babes in Christ. In Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And so he says the strong should help the weak members, help them in living a faithful Christian life. This lesson is designed to help us understand and deal with some of the disappointments that new Christians face. For example, when a person obeys the gospel, their weaknesses are the same as before they obeyed the gospel. A person who is addicted to alcohol or maybe to drugs, when they obey the gospel and they're baptized, they still might be tempted to drink alcohol, and they have to give up those things. But they're still tempted to do those things maybe that they did before they were baptized, those same weaknesses that they had before. One doesn't automatically be strong and faithful in the Lord. It takes time. Many become Christians with joyful anticipation. In Acts 8 and verse 39, it says, when we were come up out of the water, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. And so the Ethiopian, the eunuch, was baptized, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was a Christian. He was a child of God, and he was happy. I remember back when I obeyed the gospel, it was over 60 years ago. I was very happy after I'd obeyed the gospel. It's like being on clouds. Yes, I was very enthused. And every day I'd go to work, I'd take my Bible with me so I could read it and study it. Yes, one is excited about the forgiveness of sins, excited about the chance to start over, become a new person with a new life, excited about the help that God will give them. God helps us to overcome our weaknesses if we put forth the effort to do so. But when they soon discover the temptations are just as strong as before, when they obeyed the gospel, they can easily be discouraged. In Luke 8, verse 13, we read there about the seed that fell upon the rock. They hear and they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, and which for a while believe, in time of temptation fall away. And so sometimes young people or those who obey the gospel and are baptized, they allow the devil to tempt them and lead them astray and cause them to fall away. How can we help those who are newly baptized into Christ? By teaching them that transformation is an ongoing process. Transformation is a growth. Yes, we begin as babes in Christ, and we grow and we develop as Christians, and it takes time. It's an ongoing process. We don't grow full grown overnight. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we are transformed. We'll be different from the world. We're to change. A change has to take place. And so we need to teach those who are new in the faith that it takes time for them to grow and develop. It doesn't come automatically. We notice that Paul wrote the Colossians in the third chapter what Christians are to do. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. And so here Paul is simply saying we're to put off all these things, fornication and covetousness. We're not to lie. We're not to lose our tempers. Yes, wrath and anger and malice. And so all these things we've put away. He says you put off that old man, you become a new man, a new person, when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also by reminding them of God's willingness to forgive and provide strength. Yes, the young members, those who are babes in Christ, need to know that when they do make a mistake, that God is willing to forgive them of their sins. I remember years ago at Waynesville, I was preaching. And there's a woman there that was new in the faith, and she had obeyed the gospel. And at home, she became angry, and she cursed. Well, after she had cursed, she just thought, well, God would not forgive her. And we went to her house and talked to her, and she repented, and she came back. But she thought that she couldn't be forgiven. But God forgives you no matter what sin you commit. When you repent and pray and ask God's forgiveness, He will forgive you. In 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we repent, we confess our sins, God will forgive us. In 1 John 2 and verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so God doesn't want us to sin, but he says, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He pleads in our behalf. And when we repent and ask God, He will forgive us. Yes, God works in us to do His will. He wants us to do His will, do what is right. In Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so he says, we're to work out our own salvation, and that God worketh in you, both to will and do of His good pleasure. And so God works in us to do His will. He wants us to do right. Also, Christians are not perfect. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make some mistake and living the Christian life. Yes, they witness the inconsistency in the lives of others. Yes, those who are new in the faith, they've just been baptized, and they're watching the older members. Are we being a good example before them? Yes, if they see us doing things, chances are they're going to do the same things. Yes, they see those who do not practice what they preach. Yes, are we inconsistent? Are we being hypocritical sometimes? It really hurts when seen in those that they look up to. And so the younger members look up to the older members. And we have to be careful that we are a good example, that we are sincere, that we're not hypocrites. But this problem is not a new one. Paul rebuked Peter for what he did. You think the Apostle Peter, the great man that he was, he made a mistake as a Christian. In Galatians 2, verse 11, beginning, now when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? Yes, Peter here was being a hypocrite. He was not consistent. Yes, when the Jews came, he didn't want to eat with the Gentiles for fear of the Jews. And so if a strong, great man like Peter made a mistake, chances are sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Also, sometimes there's ill treatment by Christians. Sometimes those who are young in the faith are not treated right by older members. It may take place in Bible study, or a business meeting, or at work, or at play. Yes, we need to be careful, where harsh words can be devastating to those who are new in the faith. I remember many years back at Covington, a young man, he had just obeyed the gospel, and he was giving a short lesson. In that lesson, he was talking about Adam and Eve and eating the fruit. And he said that Adam and Eve ate an apple. Well, after his lesson, one of the older members got up and kind of rebuked him because he said it was an apple. Well, that hurt the young man's feelings, and I think he even maybe quit the church. And so we need to be careful what we say and what we do. Certainly, he was wrong in saying it was an apple. The Bible doesn't say that. But we need to be careful that we're not harsh to those who are young in the faith. We must be careful what we say to young Christians in the faith, that we don't hurt their feelings and discourage them. What can we do? Set a better example. I need to look at my life. Am I being a good example before the young members of this congregation? The way I talk, the way I dress, places I go, the things that I do, am I being a good example for them? Paul wrote in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in your conversation, your manner of life, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul says, be an example before others. Yes, confess wrong when it occurs. Help the new Christian realize that older Christians are also going through the process of transformation. We're always growing as Christians. We never are fully mature. As long as we live, there's room for growth. Paul said that he himself was not perfect. In Philippians 3, verse 12 and 13 and 14, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said he had not reached perfection, but he pressed on toward the mark. He didn't become discouraged. He didn't give up the faith. There's going to be trials and temptations for all of us, especially those who are new in the faith, such as pleasures and responsibilities of the world might hinder you in living the Christian life, often drawing the new Christian away. It may be your job. Young members, they get out in a job and they have to start at the bottom. And sometimes they may have to work on Sundays and on Wednesday nights. This certainly can be a hindrance. Or their family might try to discourage them in their living the Christian life. School activities might hinder them, cause them to have to be away from the services. And so there's going to be trials and temptations that Satan will try to deceive us and try to get us to do things that we shouldn't. choking them. They become unfruitful. Yes, as Luke said in Luke 8 and 14, that which fell among thorns are they, which when they had heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. And so the younger in the faith need to be careful about the cares of this life, about the pleasures of this life, that you don't allow them to hinder you in growing as a Christian. Put away those things that might hinder the cause of Christ. Also, discouragement by unconverted friends. Yes, before you were a Christian, before you obeyed the gospel, you had certain friends. Well, after you become a Christian, you live a different life. And those friends that you had may discourage you from living the Christian life. They want you to come back and be with them and do things with them that maybe are not right. Yes, who want them to come back to the things of the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33 and 34, Paul says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And so, evil communication can corrupt good manners. Be careful what you do. Yes, your friends that you had before you obeyed the gospel may try to lead you astray. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 4, it says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you. And so they think you're strange because you're a Christian. You no longer do the things that you did before. What can we do? And show what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Yes, if we seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness, we put God before everything else in this life. Make it clear by our own example who it is that we love the most. We show who we love by who we serve. In 1 John 2, 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Develop close friendships with new Christians, encouraging them to live faithful to Christ. And so we are to help one another in living the Christian life. False conceptions about prosperity. Yes, sometimes think, well, after I obey the gospel and I become a Christian, everything's going to be smooth. I'm not going to have any more problems. I'm going to prosper. Well, those things don't always happen. Yes, we're still going to have problems after you obey the gospel. God allows us to be tempted. He allows things to happen in our life, but He helps us to overcome those things. In James 1, verse 2 beginning, He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so James says, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations and tribulations. Yes, it'll help us in living the Christian life. In 1 Peter 1, verse 6 beginning, notice here what Peter said. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom now, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, for receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so we are to rejoice in living the Christian life. And he says our trials and tribulations are more precious than gold that perishes. We need to prepare new Christians for possible adversity. Yes, there's going to be problems. We notice in Acts 14, verse 21 and 22, that when they had preached the gospel to that city, had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so there's going to be a lot of tribulation, a lot of problems, a lot of troubles in living the Christian life. Satan often strikes the hardest when one is new in the faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so every Christian is going to be persecuted. In Acts 5:41-42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so the early Christians were persecuted. Yes, they were beaten and they were put in prison, but this did not stop them from preaching. Also, too much negative teaching might be discouraging to young members. We're to preach the positive and negative lessons, but we can't dwell only on the negative. There's the goodness and there's the severity of God. God is love, but also we read about the vengeance of God. In 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul said in Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so we're to preach all that's in the scriptures, the positive and the negative. There can be dangers involved in exposing errors if it's done in an arrogant and self-righteous spirit. Yes, we are to expose error and false doctrine, but we should have the right attitude. It should be done to make, if it's done to make us feel good or superior, it's not in the right manner. If it's done to the exclusion of learning what we need to do. Yes, if we're not careful, we can create carnal members given to strife and envy. Yes, we are to expose error. When negative teaching is called for, it should be done for the purpose of trying to understand and teach those who are in error, out of love for those in error. Yes, we teach them because we love them. We want them to be saved. We want them to go to heaven. We're to pray for their souls. Romans 10:1, Paul is an example. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He prayed for those lost souls. Paul gave recognition for their accomplishments. Yes, Paul said that they had a zeal of God. In Romans 10:2-3, for I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Yes, they had a zeal of God, but they were trying to establish their own righteousness. It should be done with the qualities mentioned. In 2 Timothy 2:24-26, says, a servant of the Lord must not strive. Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And so we as Christians, we're to be gentle. We're to be able to teach and be patient in teaching those who are in error or in lost souls. There are four stages of spiritual growth. There's a ball of fire stage following conversion. After one is converted, they want to convert the world. They're encouraged. They're zealous. But then there's the reality stage when disappointments come. But you can't let those disappointments discourage you and cause you to leave the Lord. Then there's the up and down stage. And then there's a steady as she goes stage. In Proverbs 4 and verse 18, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And so let our light shine. Let's grow as Christians. Let's be a good example before others. In conclusion, every Christian is to grow and be stronger. There's always room for growth, and never become discouraged. We're not to grow weary in doing what is right and good, no matter what happens in our life. We must have love and patience with one another, helping one another, encouraging one another in living the Christian life. Yes, we're to be a good example for others, letting our light shine. Are we as older members, are we being a good example for the younger when they see our lives and what we do? We certainly should be. And so let's do all that we can to encourage those who are young in the faith, those who have been baptized into Christ, living the Christian life. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ. God loves you. God wants you to be saved. You must believe and have faith in God. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will add you to his church. Yes, you'll be a new creature, a new person in Christ. If you're a member, you've not been faithful, then you need to repent and pray. Confess your sins, and God is faithful to forgive you. And so if you're subject in any way, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?